listening to the Worldwide Sports Radio Network. Live at the studio of Worldwide Sports Radio.
All right, let's go.
It's the Third and Long Show. And here's your host, Maddie Capps.
And welcome, everybody, to a brand new show of Third and Long here at the Worldwide Sports Radio Network here in Bohemia, Long Island, New York. It was actually not a bad day. It was a little on the cold side, but compared to the stupid snow we had yesterday, and even though I got a coating, what did you get on the North Shore?
A couple inches. A
couple inches, you did. Yeah, I barely got anything. I was still able to see my grass and
There weren't really any shows yesterday, were there?
No, there wasn't. I shut that down because it was bad with the
icy and
slush
stuff,
and stuff on the roads. Like, it was bad, so there were no shows. I was going to come in and do the show, but Errol told me not to drive in this weather.
Yeah,
so
it was not worth it.
So
anytime
I listened.
It's not worth it. Yeah. It's especially the LIE. I mean, LIE
that's where you come
crazy.
From. Yeah, I take Sunrise, and right over there, the Oakdale Merge is right there.
You don't take the LIE, okay.
No. I'm literally 7 minutes up the road from here. It's perfect. But man, we have a lot of stuff to go over today since we missed yesterday. We're going to get into a lot of the NFL today. We're going to talk about Joe Flacco getting traded from the Baltimore Ravens to the Denver Broncos and John Elway. I hate the move, and I'm going to tell you why a little later. We're going to talk about the Antonio Brown saga and how that's still continuing on. He finally has requested a trade. And what would that mean for the Pittsburgh Steelers? And we're going to talk a little bit about the New York Giants. Could Odell Beckham Jr. possibly be traded this offseason? We're going to get into that. Then we're going to get into some Major League Baseball. Pitchers and catchers are reporting, and still no signs for Machado and Harper on where they're going to go. I'm going to take a little shot at Errol Marks because he told me after the Super Bowl that Bryce Harper will be signing with the Philadelphia Phillies, and that doesn't look like it's happening anytime soon. We're also going to get into some Yankee and garbage from Queens talk. I love the garbage from Queens because they're just the second worst sport franchise there is in all of sports, right behind the New York Knicks. It goes to garbage from Queens. And I don't say that proudly because I am a Knicks fan, but I'm also a Yankee fan, so I'm lucky enough in that aspect. But It's extremely tough to be a New York
fan. A couple
fan.
More months of the Knicks, let's hope.
Yeah, and Vinny, we're going to talk about the Knicks, and we're going to talk a little bit about them a little later on. They've lost 17 in a row. They just had a bad loss to the Cleveland Cavaliers, even though
you know
it
what?
Was for
it
the
doesn't
tanking
even know
purposes.
Me right now. Like, it doesn't bother me right now. I'm even past the losses. Every loss just kills me, and this year I just was emotionless with the losses. New going in, what this was
what
about.
Was happening.
So I still look forward to watching the games, and I just see, you know,
and
I just
you still
watch,
go to games.
I just watch basketball, and mm-hmm. I just see, you know, progression, and I want it. That's all I want to see with the young guys. That's it.
Oh, well, that's the big thing. You want to see these young guys get better and better. Mitchell Robinson, Kevin Knox.
Oh, me and you love Mitchell Robinson.
Mitchell Robinson, you got to love him. His 6'11", his athleticism, he's just so, so raw, and he still has to learn the game, and that's going to come. But if he puts a little bit more weight on and learning from DeAndre Jordan and stuff, he could be some player for the New York Knicks. He could literally be an DeAndre
Jordan. I might be
Jordan.
More excited about him now than Knox.
Really? I'm still very high on Kevin Knox.
I know you are. I think I am too, but, you know, he's very raw.
Streaky. Oh, absolutely. He's another guy.
I mean, Mitchell Robinson's raw too, but I'm saying, like, you know, he's not strong enough
but
yet.
But you're
for 100%
the NBA. Right. But also keep in mind, he's also 19 years old.
Yeah, so, you know, there's a lot, you know, I think probably another 2 years before you can even determine what type of player he's going to be, if
absolutely.
He's going to be a good player or not.
Absolutely.
I think he needs another 2 years. I mean, he should be in college still.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at it, he should have went to Western Kentucky, but he left there early so he could work out for the NBA. But we're going to talk about NBA in a little bit. Let's talk about it right now. And I think it's about time we talk a little bit about the NFL because we haven't really talked about the NFL since the Super Bowl and all that talk. So I really want to get into the Joe Flacco trade. Vinny, I'm going to ask for your opinion and what you think going forward, because I saw this trade this morning.
Yeah, this morning.
I didn't believe what I was reading. And looking at it, the Baltimore Ravens head coach John Harbaugh has said in early January that Joe Flacco does have a market and whatnot. Well, today, this morning, the Baltimore Ravens agreed in principle to trade Joe Flacco to the Denver Broncos in exchange for a fourth round
pick. But it can't
pick.
Be official until the new NFL
March
year.
March 13th, which is the new NFL season. So this can't be really done until that day. And then that day it'll be official. But Ian Rappaport had reported this, and he added that Flacco, who had 3 years remaining on his contract, will need to rework his deal for the Broncos. Baltimore and Denver are not allowed to publicly.
Well, I guess Keenum is out of there.
You would think so. Comment on the transaction
but I don't
until.
Know, I don't know what the cap hold is on his. You know, I think he. You know,
well,
it's like $8 million or something like that.
I'm looking into that, but you look at it right now. He's 34 years old. He had 11 seasons in Baltimore. He helped the Ravens to 7 postseason appearances,
how
including
old is
a Super Bowl. 34. He's on the getting on the wrong side of 30, that's for sure.
See, this is not a needle mover to me.
No, absolutely not.
I don't.
And that's my problem.
There's a big upgrade between Keenum and Flacco.
It's not.
And
it's definitely,
you know,
not.
Maybe, you know, he has like the big game knack a little more so than
because
Keenum.
Because he won a Super Bowl. I mean, it's possible, but you look at it.
But stat-wise, and this is the tail end of his career more, you know, I'm looking at the past 2 years of Flacco and Keenum, I mean, their numbers are almost strikingly similar up and down the board.
Well, that's what I mean. Flacco
and Keenum's are actually better pretty much all across
because
the board.
Because of last season, he was great. Joe Flacco completed 61.2% of his passes, which is his lowest mark since 2013. He threw 12 touchdowns and 6 interceptions. The Ravens went 4-5 under Flacco this season when he was under center, while Lamar Jackson took the team and led the team to a 6-1 record and a postseason berth. So with the Broncos, Joe Flacco gets a fresh start under new head coach Vic Fangio, who really knows Joe Flacco well, okay, from his time on the Ravens coaching staff from 2006 to 2009, even though he only had him for a year. Joe Flacco will now enter the 2019 season as a starter over Case Keenum, who recently expressed he wasn't worried about the Broncos making a potential move to bolster the quarterback position. The Broncos signed Keenum to a 2-year, $36 million deal in the 2018 offseason free agency. But again, it was an underwhelming performance en route to missing a postseason for a third consecutive year for the Denver Broncos. It does look like we have a call, right? We do have a call. Our first caller of the day, Mr. Jeff from Tampa. Jeff, how are you, buddy?
I'm completely exhausted. I've been watching the Patriots Super Bowl parade on rerun for the last week.
For the last week, you've been watching the Super Bowl parade on rerun.
Yeah, that and the Super Bowl and just, you know, thinking and thanking Vinny Rubo over and over again for helping us.
You know what? I'm starting to believe Vinny secretly loves everything about Boston and their sports, because all he does is help them. He doesn't do anything to help us, the New Yorkers. He does everything to help the Boston Red Sox. But
that's
Jeff,
just the kind of guy he is. It works.
But Jeff, you look at this trade right now between the Denver Broncos and the Baltimore Ravens. What do you think of the trade? Because I think John Elway's a full moron. Just my opinion.
Listen, man. I don't think. Here's the thing. I think both teams win in this scenario, right? Because it doesn't really cost Denver anything because Flacco cost $16 million against Baltimore's cap, so Denver is only bringing in Joe Flacco for $2.5 million, which at that price is amazing, right? And because beyond this year, they have an out and they won't owe him anything. Like the last 2 years of Flacco's contract aren't guaranteed, so Denver can get out from under it for only the cost of $2.5 million, which I think is brilliant. And I think the Ravens also win, too, because, listen, you're free.
Well, how do the Denver Broncos win again? Because they still owe Case Keenum another $18 million. That's all guaranteed.
Right, but they still need a backup. And let's face it, okay, Keenum may not be a starter, but, you know, they have a starter and a backup, or two backups who are going to equal a starter. I don't know. right? But Case Keenum's a viable backup, right? So, and Denver needs a backup. Paxton Lynch isn't working out. So having Case Keenum as a backup, regardless of price.
Do you think they keep him, though?
That's the thing. Do you think they keep him?
I think they cut Keenum. You know, he's I don't know how much they cut. You know, on the hook for.
Well, actually, Case Keenum is guaranteed $7 million in 2019.
So I mean, I think they're gonna cut him.
I don't listen. They may end up cutting him. I don't know if that's the best idea though, because I mean, he has a year under his belt with the Broncos, and he is a who's a better backup that you're gonna get than Case Keenum?
You're not.
You don't think they might draft someone this year?
No.
But do you, like, all right, but hold on. Joe Flacco wasn't exactly working out in Baltimore. Like, it just wasn't working out for whatever reason.
Yeah, but how many more good years do you think he has?
Right, and listen, I'm in agreement with you on that, Vinny. I totally in agreement with you. But you're not guaranteed to have Flacco work out, so shouldn't you keep Case Keenum around as your backup just as, like, a plan? And, like, listen, Paxton Lynch is still there. Paxton Lynch is still there, and that's not working out. I still think Denver's going to end up drafting a quarterback somewhere in this draft to try to develop
for
the future, right? But, like, you're still going to – they're a team that keeps three quarterbacks, so I think that they should keep Case Keenum as a backup because you don't – do you know what you're going to get out of Joe Flacco? Baltimore certainly didn't last year.
No, and that's the thing. They went 4-5 with him and then 6-1 with Lamar Jackson, and you don't know what you're going to get with an ever-aging Joe Flacco besides the fact that his arm is monstrous. He has a strong arm. That's his biggest thing. And he did win a Super Bowl for the Baltimore Ravens, but he's been on a steady decline, almost like Eli Manning for the past 3 or 4 or 5 years. And that's the thing. This is why I don't like the move is because of the money situation and what it really goes for. I mean, Case Keenum really was underwhelming. He really was.
I like this trade for both teams for separate reasons, right? Because Baltimore sheds Flacco, right? And, you know, okay, they take a salary cap hit, but they still save like $6 million or something by getting rid of him. And it frees up Lamar Jackson to not have to look over his shoulder. So I like that move for Baltimore. And I like the move for Denver. They only gave up what is supposedly a mid-round pick, if that's a fourth or a fifth. I don't know.
Fourth round.
That seems like fair compensation, right? Would you say, I don't think that they paid too much in a fourth-round pick. Do you?
No. I mean, for a quarterback for an aging quarterback, I think that's good.
Aging quarterbacks worked for Denver. It worked for Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning wasn't all that great there.
He had his best season when he came back from his neck surgery. The next year, he was bad.
I'm just saying it has positives for both teams, right? Denver didn't overpay, and beyond this year, they don't owe him anything. They can walk away from the contract and not owe him anything. That's kind of a win for Denver, right? They're trying to piece something together, and I think they're going to draft another quarterback. And Baltimore, they get rid of Flacco, they get rid of that distraction, they can move on with Lamar Jackson. I think for both teams, there's ups and downs, and yes, we can all say John Elway's an idiot because I don't think most of us would have traded for Joe Flacco, but the price was low, right? The price was really low, and, you know, I think this is the fairest deal.
Well, also, you also have to keep in mind the Denver Broncos have 2 fourth-round draft picks in this draft, so the Broncos are inheriting 3 years and $63 million remaining on Flacco's contract with the Ravens. That, even though, like you said, that contract is unguaranteed, so the Broncos could get out of Flacco's contract after this one season if things go wrong. It is a risk. I'm not going to take anything away because...
But you can't look at that number and say they owe him $63 million because it's not true. Like, it's only true if it works out for him and they keep him. And truthfully, if it works out and they want to keep him, it would be worth that money.
Oh, absolutely. He would 100% be worth that kind of money. But keep in mind, in 2019, the Broncos will add $18.5 million to their cap space, which leaves them with $18.3 million in space per spot track when he came up with that. So Denver can create $10.3 million in room by releasing the wide receiver Sanders. But it probably needs to add at least one veteran wideout, you would think. Am I right? If not, a tight end to go with him?
I don't know. That's tricky, though, because they have a couple of young guys. Deshaun Hamilton really came on at the end of the year. Cortland Sutton is still there. You know, and those were some pretty good young pieces. Yes, they need a little more development. But, they're pretty good young pieces going forward for Denver.
Oh, yeah. And listen, and that's the whole thing. You look at it, they're also stuck with a minimum of $10 million on their cap for Keenum, who has $7 million of his $18 million base salary guaranteed in addition to $3 million of his prorated signing bonus. Keenum will have no trade value at the $18 million figure and will likely be released by the Denver Broncos unless he takes a huge, huge pay cut, which wouldn't make any sense whatsoever.
It does and it doesn't. You know, I mean, let's be honest. Yeah, you want to get paid and that kind of thing if you're Case Keenum. Like, you know, I mean, it's going to be the biggest check he's ever going to get. But at the same time, like, you know, maybe you can work out an extension for less money. You know what I'm saying? And get more years out of it rather than just 1 year at 17, you know? Because, you know, I think that you guys are in agreement. Name a better backup quarterback than Case Keenum.
It's tough. I don't think there is any out there.
I mean, there might be, but they're kind of on the same level as him. Backups, I mean, Case Keenum's just about as good as it gets for a backup.
Yeah.
I certainly wouldn't be moving forward. Trevor Siemian is my backup, or Paxton Lynch is my backup.
No, well, Paxton Lynch I don't even think is with the ball club anymore, so I agree with you with that instance, that's for sure.
You know, but I do find it amazing that, I mean, if you look at, dude, I did this earlier because it's hilarious. Go and look at John Elway's, the 54 players he's drafted since 2011. Like, three of them have worked out. All the rest of them are bums.
Yeah, he's been a terrible. That's why he's not. Sometimes being a player and being a GM, it doesn't translate and it doesn't work out very well for them. And John Elway has been done nothing positive for the Denver Broncos.
I mean, it's just funny because John Elway is knowledgeable about the game, but I don't think you've seen anyone that is as knowledgeable about the game be as bad as a talent evaluator as John Elway is.
I could not agree with you more. I could not agree with you more. He's showing his ineptitude to be dealing with stuff like that.
Yeah, it's bad. It's like John Elway's ability to draft players is like Vinny's ability to pick Super Bowl winners. It's awful.
Vinny is just sitting there smirking right now at you.
I mean, listen, could he be any worse than Vinny Rubo? He picked the Chargers, the Chiefs, and the Rams. How did that work out?
I still say Chiefs should have won, so.
Woulda, shoulda, coulda, right? Who went to the Super Bowl, Vinny?
Who won the Super Bowl?
Who won the Super Bowl? I don't know. Man, my liver is exhausted from all the partying, though.
Oh, God.
Oof,
of course.
Liver.
Of course. I mean, why wouldn't you? You just won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean,
but, yeah, like, I mean, Elway is just bad at drafting players. Like, other than Derek Wolfe and Von Miller, like, there aren't
I don't think he
drafted.
Did he draft Von Miller?
Yeah.
He did draft Von Miller. Okay.
But that fell in his lap.
Yeah.
I mean,
there was
you
no
can't
one
even
really
screw
to
that
take.
Up.
Yeah. Well, he is John Elway, and he's done nothing positive for them. So
I mean, the rest of the guys he's drafted is like literally the funniest list. Like, you know, Julius Thomas. Where's Julius Thomas now? He had that one nice year.
He's about to get cut. He's about to get cut.
Right.
Was
like,
Paxton Lynch and Mahomes in the same draft?
No.
Paxton, yes,
no, no, no. I think Paxton Lynch was a year before Mahomes.
No, you're right. Yeah, he was the year before. Yep.
He was a year before Mahomes. So.
Yeah, it's just, it's sad. It's just really, really sad. And I probably wouldn't have traded for Flacco, but at that price, and it's super low risk, you could walk away from that contract, all you're paying him, all you're going to owe him really is $2 million, $2.5 million against the cap. That's a layup. You go and get Joe Flacco for $2.5 million.
Yeah. I mean, it's really not that bad of a move if you think about
Name
it.
Name another guy that you're going to get for that number.
I don't think you are going to get it. I just don't like the move. I mean, if I'm John Elway, I'm waiting to get my next quarterback if I don't like Case Keenum. I didn't like the Case Keenum move to begin with because I thought Case Keenum was a product of the system he was in at Minnesota when he had his one great season, and that's it. And John Elway took a chance on him, and he got screwed. He got screwed royally by him.
I mean, I don't think that there's any way that the Broncos aren't taking a quarterback in this draft. And it doesn't mean that they're going to take one in the first round. It could be second or third. But I think that they're going to still take a young quarterback to try to have on this team going forward.
I mean, it is possible. It is possible. I think they're going to cut him. I think Case Keenum is going to get cut, and he's going to go to the Jacksonville Jaguars or somewhere over there, because that's another team I want to talk about, too, in a little bit, is Jacksonville, because they've been actually inquiring about Nick Foles going forward. So that's something really interesting.
It does kind of set the price for quarterbacks going forward this offseason, though, right?
You would think.
It's a fourth rounder for Joe Flacco. You know, who knows what these other guys are going to command, you know?
Well, what can these other guys command is a question.
Well, I think...
Well, like Antonio Brown type of stuff?
No, well, Antonio Brown, the most he's going to get is a second-round draft pick, and that's the most.
No, but I'm just saying, like, going forward, like, I think that you could make a fairly strong argument that Nick Foles would be worth a first-round draft pick to some team. Maybe not a high first-round draft pick, but I bet you there's someone, you know, 15 and lower... that could use Nick Foles.
It's possible. It's possible.
You know, I think he's earned that kind of status. I think, you know, like, if Joe Flacco's a fourth round, I don't think anyone thinks Joe Flacco is any good. But, you know, what would some of these other guys be worth?
No, you're 100% right. And, Jeff, you know what? Hang on, because we're going to talk about Antonio Brown when we come back from break. So just hang on, because I want to hear your opinion on that as well. Ladies and gentlemen, when we come back from break, we are going to talk a little bit about Antonio Brown and the saga that is going on in Pittsburgh right now. We're going to get into that when we come back here at the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.
It is the Worldwide Sports Radio Network. You are listening to the Third and Long Show. And here's your host, Matty Cap.
631-676-2968 is the number to reach us here at the Worldwide Sports Radio Network here in Bohemia, Long Island. We still have Jeff from Tampa on, and now I want to get into Antonio Brown. And Jeff, I know you know what's going on with Antonio Brown and whatnot. I'm curious on what you and Mr. Vinny Rubo think about this whole saga going on in Pittsburgh, how he requested a trade from the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm curious what you have to say about this.
Yeah, I mean, for me anyways, you know, I don't know where he's going to go. There's a lot of options for where he's going to go. Who knows how that's going to end up playing out. But I do find it very interesting. It, you know, it feels to me like the Steelers organization is just melting down.
That's what
down
I was just
right
going to say. Like, wasn't this Steelers organization at all like one of the top flight high and mighty, like they don't do anything wrong type of, and now it's just like one
for the past 2 years
they're like the Kardashians. It's just one soap opera after another with this team, and from Le'Veon Bell, now Antonio Brown, and it's just unraveling before our very eyes. And now, I mean, I'm not shocked that he asked for a trade. Are you Jeff? I mean, I'm not shocked at all. And now you're the Steelers and you're Mike Tomlin, and like what do you do now, as far as, you know, obviously, you're probably going to have to trade him. You don't want him on your team anymore.
Well, yeah, no. His time in Pittsburgh is done. I don't care that he has – what does he have, 2 years left on his contract there?
I think he has 3 years.
3 years left on his contract there. They're going to try and get rid of Antonio Brown as soon as possible. As soon as the new football year hits, there's going to be so much talk going on with Antonio Brown. One, he requested a trade out of Pittsburgh. Two, I think there's more in-depth details than what we know about, because he's making look like the scapegoat. I think a lot of it does have to do with Ben Roethlisberger and the upper management and the Roonies.
Where is he going to find it better than where he is in Pittsburgh? I mean, his 9 years in Pittsburgh were, you know, stat-wise, probably like top two ever. I mean, his stats are ridiculous when you look at it year after year. And now you're going to go into a new year, a new team. You don't know where you're going. You don't have no control where you're going to go. They already said that they're not trading – him in the division or to the Patriots.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's
did
funny.
Did you hear that, Jeff? They said they're not
right
trading him
me.
In the division or the Patriots.
And it's kind of funny because there's probably no team likelier to be closely monitoring this.
So
Antonio
any other team is getting –
than the Patriots.
So
because you look at it, he would fill a huge void on outside wide receiver – his work ethic, his route running, his long history of success, and his
long history. And you would think Belichick would be able to get, you know, him to, you know, calm down that little diva status.
And to buy in. I mean, listen, there's absolutely no reason for Pittsburgh to do a trade to one of the biggest rivals in the AFC. Don't get me wrong, Jeff, I'm sure you would love to have a guy like Antonio Brown.
I think his talent is kind of unmatched. I mean, not unmatched. There's a couple of guys, but he's certainly in that top tier of, like, wide receivers. But, yeah, I mean, forget the Patriots in this scenario. And, yes, the Patriots, I'm sure, would love to have him. Who wouldn't, right? Like, who wouldn't? But I just think it's hilarious to me that, like, you know, the Steelers on paper, and I guess they don't play the games on paper and all that kind of stuff. When you had Antonio Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster, Le'Veon Bell, Ben Roethlisberger, like that.
They were ridiculous.
And a decent defense. I mean, their defense wasn't too shabby.
At minimum, that should have been a playoff team. At minimum.
Easily.
That should have been a playoff
team. Easily should have been a playoff team. Yep.
They missed the playoffs. Like, they missed the playoffs. Like, that's not good. It feels like their team is melting down. I don't know. The rumors have been out there for a while. You think the retirement rumors are crazy with Brady and Gronkowski? How long have we been talking about Ben Roethlisberger retirement rumors?
Yeah. No, you're 100% right.
This team feels like it's melting down. Feels like it's melting down. It just does. Nothing's going their way. They're not winning those close games that they used to win. Everyone wants out of there. You know, and unfortunately, it's going to raise the question. I don't know whether it's fair or not, because I don't know if it's Mike Tomlin or the front office, but you have to wonder.
I think it's
Mike
a little
Tomlin
bit of both.
I think Mike Tomlin's losing the locker room.
Yeah, well, when you have Ben Roethlisberger who loves you, it's tough to say he's losing the whole locker room. But I think it's a lot to do
with
him.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Roethlisberger's fighting with everybody. You can't get Le'Veon Bell in there. Antonio Brown is filming post-game speeches. That's not something you really want. Like, he has no control over anything anyone is doing in that locker room.
Yeah, and listen, you're 100% right. And on top of all of that,
and this is where the Patriots will come into play in this kind of thing, they also don't seem to ever be able to beat the Patriots.
Or not
right?
When it matters. Not when it matters. They have been able to beat them.
Dude, in the last, like, 10 years.
They beat them this past season.
This is the only time they've beat them in, like, the last 10 years.
But in the playoffs, they haven't.
No,
go back and look. Dude, the AFC Championship game, the Patriots are throwing flea flickers to Chris Hogan. Dude, the Patriots blew out the Steelers in that AFC Championship game.
That was, like, 3 years ago.
Powerful.
I remember. Yep, I absolutely remember that. Mm-hmm.
Right, the Patriots dominate them when it matters. Like, dude, in the last 10 years, I think this last year is the only year that they beat them. That's it. The Patriots live in Mike Tomlin's head.
Listen, you it's tough to disagree with you when you put it like that, because
now what is Antonio Brown worth?
What do you think he's able
he's
to
a,
get?
You know, between all the off-field stuff, you know, he's 30 years old now. He'll be 31 before the season begins. And all, you know, you're going to have to deal with, you know, his diva-ness and all that, and whether he fits with your team. What do you figure that he's
worth? Well, you know the Pittsburgh Steelers want to get a first-round pick. That's unlikely. They're not very likely to get a first-round pick.
Two different things.
Yes, exactly. No, they're not going to get a first-round pick. I'm going to say they're going to get a second-round pick for him.
I think they want a second-round pick.
No, they want a first-round pick, but I think they're going to get a second-round pick.
I think there's a lot of factors that go into this, right? Because I don't think that there's any question that he's first-round draft pick worthy as far as talent goes.
Especially
right?
at his
but
age.
But that's the thing. There are other things working against him. His ability to get along with others is, you know, less than average.
His salary?
You know?
I don't even know what it is.
I mean, some team with salary cap room is going to go out and get him, right? But, like, you know, his age is certainly working against him. He's, what, 30 or 31 or whatever he is.
He'll be 31 when the season starts.
The team understandably wants to net a first-round draft pick in any Brown trade. I'm reading this right in front of me. But according to Ian Rappaport, it suggests that a second-round pick may be more plausible. And after all, the acquiring team would probably need to give Antonio Brown a new contract, which will surely be an expensive proposition, and his alleged involvement in domestic abuse and the clubhouse tour, man.
It it's going to need to be a team that has salary cap room. So I'm looking at the
49ers, the Miami Dolphins,
the Colts,
the Jets, and the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, I don't think the Cardinals will be in the market, though, because I think they need to go younger. They already have an aging wide receiver in Larry Fitzgerald.
How many more years is Larry Fitzgerald going to play?
But why would he want to what's he going to do in Arizona? Don't they might trade Josh Rosen too?
Yeah, listen, and we're going to talk about Kyler Murray too. I have a lot to talk about Kyler Murray. I'm actually going to save Kyler Murray for tomorrow before we get into Zion Williamson.
Arizona's not too far off from being a pretty good football team, though. If you look at their roster, Christian Kirk is a pretty good wide receiver.
Their offensive line is terrible.
No, it's terrible, right? But you need to upgrade that offensive line, and they have all the other pieces.
And listen, you know? I still think that they're like the Jets. They're still a bunch of years away from being relevant and whatnot. I do firmly believe, though, that with Kingsbury being the new coach there, I think it's going to change everything because he's a very offensive-minded coach going forward. But I think the Cardinals are in play for Antonio Brown. There's not a doubt in my mind. There's not a doubt in my mind that I think he's in play.
There's going to have to be a team with salary cap room that has a draft pick that they would want to part with him. I think, you know, truthfully, I feel like it's been a foregone conclusion the whole time that he's going to just end up with the 49ers.
Well, that's the whole thing because Pittsburgh wants to ship him to the NFC. They don't want to have to play against Antonio Brown. They know how talented Antonio Brown is when he's healthy and he's fully on. He's a top three wide receiver in the league, arguably the best wide receiver in the league when he's fully on and healthy. Of course they don't want to play him. That's why the 49ers and the NFC teams, they look like it's a preferred destination.
Well, if he's in the AFC, they don't play them necessarily. They play him once every 4 years, same as the NFC. So it's not like you're going to be playing them every year.
No, I know. But it could be in the playoffs, and you don't want to play him in the playoffs.
But it's just more so that's why they said they don't want him in the division, because then you play him every year.
But also keep in mind, too, we should honestly have a resolution of this by March 17th because Mr. Antonio Brown is due a $2.5 million roster bonus if he's still on the Steelers roster on March 18th.
Oh, he's probably going to get traded definitely way before that.
But it has to be between the 13th and the 17th because of the new football season.
Yeah.
But I'm sure they're going to have a trade in place, just like how Flacco was traded.
In principle. So you think something's going to happen before
that? Oh, yeah.
I mean, it is highly possible. It really is highly possible.
It really just changes the landscape of football, too, though. Because, I mean, listen, I think we all think Juju Smith-Schuster is a good wide receiver. But is Juju Smith ready to take on the responsibility that Antonio Brown had?
He was more in the slot.
Now
he's going to be outside against the top corners.
Yeah, but he's a number one type receiver. You were able to see it when he was playing.
Right, he's a number one type receiver, but he's not a guy that had the double coverage Antonio Brown is, right? But Juju Smith-Schuster got a ton of catches and a ton of, you know, looks because he had the single coverage. Now when you look at that group of receivers, they're not doubling James Washington. They're not doubling Eli Rogers. They're going to double Juju Smith-Schuster.
Absolutely, and now someone else is going to have to step up and do something for their team, and that's 100% fact. Someone else is going to have to step up.
This is really going to cripple the Steelers, I feel.
Absolutely. They're losing Le'Veon Bell. Regardless, they can't. I was reading something, and I mentioned something early in the months prior that they can't franchise him again and whatnot, but if they do, they have to trade him. So even if they do franchise Le'Veon Bell again, they're still trying to trade him because Le'Veon Bell is not playing under a franchise tag. When you lose arguably your best two playmakers at their respected positions in a running back and wide receiver, I don't care how good Ben Roethlisberger is, if he has only one weapon – he's in a lot of trouble. And I'm sorry, I don't think James Conner is the answer.
In all fairness, James Conner did have just as good of a season as you could have asked
for. Yeah, and listen, I want to see more of it. If he does it again, I might change my tune. But right now, I'm not.
It's true that it was only one season, but you can't look at this last season.
But D'Angelo Williams did it when Le'Veon was out. I mean, this is something where this is more like a scheme, and anyone that's been filled into that position has done well.
Has done well, yeah. You're totally right. Like, and listen, Matt, you're right. It is only one season, and you do need to see it over and over again to say that he is a sufficient, you know, replacement for Le'Veon Bell.
Absolutely.
But you can't look at the running back position this year and say the Steelers' troubles were because of that running back position.
No, he did great.
He did really well. He did really, really well. So, I mean, it'll be interesting going forward, but. Man, it's so nice, dude. It just feels like the Steelers are melting down.
So what do you
Belichick
think, Jeff?
Has ruined another franchise.
Stop.
Is that the one team you hate the most, or do you hate the Cowboys more?
Oh, no. See, the Steelers.
Like, who do you hate the most? I mean, I would figure that the Steelers are more of a rival to you than you don't care about the Cowboys.
Yeah, well, don't you have to win a game to be a rival? Like, the Patriots.
So then what team do you hate the most in the NFL? Like as far as a fandom,
it's got to be the Giants.
Well, I don't hate any franchise. I hope for the best for everybody. But
except the Dallas Cowboys.
Like, no. The thing about the Cowboys I don't like is their fan base because, like, their fan base is just they think they're so great and they're not. Like they think like that fan base is so crazy. Like they think they deserve more and their franchise stinks. Like their franchise stinks. Like, look at Fogarty and look at Mike from Bayshore. All they wanted to do was talk about the Cowboys 24/7. They were a team that only made the playoffs because Alex Smith snapped his leg.
But, Jeff, there's no as an NFL fan, there's no teams you dislike as being a Pat fan?
No. We beat them all. Don't you have to win a few games to, like, be a rival?
I just think it's normal for, you know, You well know my hatred for some teams,
in every
sport though.
Dude, everyone hates the teams that always beat them. Of course, you hate the. Listen, the Jets and the Giants are always going to kind of be rivals to the Patriots just because of the Boston New York.
Yeah,
kind
yeah,
of
I get that
thing that goes on, right?
Yes,
like that's just always going to be there. Boston and New York love to battle each other, right? But
yeah.
Would you say the Jets are a rival to the Patriots?
No. But that doesn't mean. But I'm not asking about if it's a rival. I'm asking what team you hate, what team you dislike. You don't
probably
need. You
the
don't.
Buffalo Bills.
You would say what? I didn't hear.
Probably the Buffalo Bills.
Really,
Buffalo Bills? That's an interesting one.
Yeah, that team should just not be in Buffalo. Their fans are mouth breathers. All they do is set themselves on fire.
Their fans are something else.
Their fans are crazy. that franchise. Either that or Jacksonville should be the first London franchise.
Yeah, but I don't see a London franchise happening.
Fine, the first Mexico City franchise. That's easy enough for the travel. Right? Listen, they're playing games in Mexico City now a lot. You don't think Mexico City could be a viable place for a franchise?
No, because nobody's going
to
want to live there. Same
you
thing
don't
in
have
London,
of course. Drafted into it.
Yeah, but listen, the NFLPA will do something to mix all that.
I mean, maybe, but name a better city as far as cost of living. That'll be 17 pesos for your apartment for the month.
Jeff, is that your belief? Is that just in NFL, or is that all sports? You just don't have any dislikes towards any teams. I mean,
no. I don't even really hate the Yankees, right? I enjoy the Yankees-Red Sox rivalry.
It's very enjoyable.
I think both teams being good makes it fun for both teams. You're not always going to win. That's just the way sports go. You're not always, well, unless you're the Patriots. Then you always win, right?
Yeah.
But the Red Sox aren't always going to win, so that it makes it fun. Right?
I agree.
And I hate the Mets too, but I feel like it's like picking on a little 10-year-old. Like,
yeah,
you
well,
just keep like
they're the garbage from Queens for a reason. You know, when you talk about the garbage from Queens, what do you expect? You're not going to get much out of that.
Like, let's be honest, Vinny. And I get that you hate the Red Sox. Blah blah blah. We get it, Vinny. But you don't think that rivalry is more fun when the Red Sox are good?
It absolutely
100% is.
Absolutely is.
But that's what I'm saying. You're not going to always win them all. And listen, it was fun breaking your chops all year because the Red Sox owned the Yankees. Do I think that's going to happen this year? Not even remotely.
And you didn't even think it would happen last year.
Well, dude, as a Red Sox fan, you're just always prepared for the other shoe to drop, and you're waiting for that collapse. That's what it is when you're a Red Sox fan.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? But, like, yeah, as a Patriots fan, I don't hate any other teams. You have to lose. The team that I should hate the most is Miami, because for whatever reason, we always seem to lose in Miami.
And you can't beat them,
yeah. Going there. But, dude, I love going down there in December and watching the Patriots-Dolphins game. It's so much fun.
Well, it wouldn't have been fun this past year down there, that's for sure.
No, and thankfully I didn't go to this one. But like those, right, but those trips are fun. Like, I'm super looking forward to the Raiders being in Las Vegas. I think I'm going to have the
that's
best time
be fun,
of my
yes.
life for that.
That's going to be fun.
That's going
right.
to be enjoyable.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, but easily, like, if you're asking who the hatred is for, no team, I don't hate any team, but clearly the Cowboys fan base is just the least deserving of the attention they get. Have they earned anything in the last 30 years?
No, absolutely not.
So basically
not.
What you're saying is put the Cowboy fans and the Bills fans in a cage match and see who prevails.
That's something you'd
no,
want to
yeah,
see.
No. The Bills fans would easily win that match, right?
Oh, yeah. They throw them on
tables
and there's a body slam.
And power bomb from the top rope.
Right. The only way dude, you know what the power move for the Cowboys fan is? They're just going to sit there and get punched in the face because they're going to be too busy telling you how great they used to be.
Back in my day.
Oh, man. Right. That's kind of like Mike from Bayshore when he used to say that Barry Sanders is better. Ezekiel Elliott is better than Barry Sanders.
But that's the highlight of why that fan base is so stupid, because he's not the only Cowboys fan that says that kind of ridiculous stuff. Right? Like, if I sit there and tell you Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback ever, I could make an argument for it. There is zero way you can make an argument for Ezekiel Elliott being better than Barry Sanders.
Zero.
Get out of here.
I know. This is the asinine comments that we've had to deal with him.
Right. And I'm not even saying that Tom Brady is the greatest. You can have that debate or whatever, right? But Tom Brady would at least be in that conversation.
Absolutely.
Besides Cowboys fans, who's talking about Zeke Elliott being the greatest running back ever? Nope, just Cowboys fans. That's the kind of people they are. That's the kind of stupidity you deal with. And that's why the hate for the Cowboys. It's like, dude, just live on planet Earth for 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. Just live here for 10 minutes.
Yep. Well,
so put a bow on this. You think Antonio Brown gets a second round pick? Yes or no? Or do you think it's going to be lower?
I think there's going to be too many teams interested, and I think there's plenty of teams that have the pick. So I'm going to go with yes. I think someone's going to pay the second round pick.
I could not agree with you more.
Someone's
going to give it too, because I'm reading right here in front of me from Ian Rappaport, a source close to Antonio Brown. Believes that he is tired of playing the scapegoat for the Steelers' problems and wants to show he can thrive in another offense. Like I said, he's due $2.5 million roster bonus on March 17th. If the Steelers trade him before that date, they would absorb $21.12 million in dead money on their salary cap. That amount would rise to $23.62 million if Brown is traded after March 17th. Brown turns 31. And he's due salaries of 12.6, 11.3 in 2020, and 12.5 in 21. He has no guaranteed money left on his contract. So trading Brown after June 1st would allow the Steelers to go spread the cap hit over multiple years for them. So that, you know what? Like we always said, the Steelers have the power right now to do what they want.
There's more repercussions possibly than just beyond the Steelers, right? And this is, I don't think this is a reach, and I'm curious what you guys think about this, but, dude, Antonio Brown's cousin is in this year's draft. He's the probably top wide receiver in this year's draft, Marquise Brown, out of Oklahoma, right? Antonio Brown mentors him. Do you think there's any teams that may need a wide receiver that are thinking about drafting him that may pass on him, and could this hurt his stock? Because, listen, Antonio Brown's mentoring him. Like, do you think this kind of attitude, do you think this kind of thing runs in the family? And could teams view him as, oh, we don't want him. That's Antonio's brother or cousin, and he'll cause problems.
It's possible.
I don't think you could answer that unless you, know him personally. I don't know what type of personality he has. But, you know, you in one aspect, you want him, you think that's a good thing for him to, you know, learn from Antonio Brown. But in another sense, like you said, off the field and the type of personality he has, you know, does that rub off too? You know,
it's not even just the it's not even just the personality. Say you draft Marquise Brown, and he's a terrific wide receiver. How do you think those contract negotiations are going to go?
Right.
I mean, you know, I mean, I think it's kind of just, you know, food for thought is, you know, I mean, could this hurt Marquise Brown's draft stock?
Because it's possible.
If you look at the draft predictions, Marquise Brown's the only receiver in the first round.
You got to see, like, obviously we'll know more, like, once people start doing interviews and all that stuff.
This isn't a good wide receiver group, right?
No.
Draft-wise?
I mean, DK Metcalf was supposed to.
One.
I heard it wasn't that great.
It's
a very
either.
Shallow.
Dude, it's crazy.
There's no
Nikhil
studs,
Harry,
is there?
DK,
like
Harry,
there's
Metcalf,
no big time names. DK Metcalf is coming off a big neck injury, and he was supposed to be.
Nikhil Harry.
He was supposed to be the best wide receiver in this draft class.
Harris Campbell.
I'm talking about big time names, and there aren't big time star names.
He had for Ohio State.
How many touchdowns do you have? 20-something?
Yeah, a trillion. Dude, David Sills from West Virginia. Go look at David Sills' numbers, dude. This wide receiver class is really good. Really good.
I just don't see it. I don't see it. I'm looking for big-time names, and DK Metcalf is the biggest name that I could see. Of course, he's one of the guys that's been talked about for years now coming up, going into the NFL draft, and I think he's the answer. But back to Antonio Brown, you look at it right now. I think he's going to be gone by March 17th. I don't think they want him on the roster for that roster bonus that he's going to get at $2.5 million. I think he's going to be gone by March 17th.
Yeah, he probably will. Like, if I'm the Steelers, I don't want this lingering into camp.
You want this done as quick as possible.
You want it done before the spring and summer. Absolutely. You want this over with. And they need to have it over with. What's up?
Where do you guys think he ends up?
I think he's going to end up in San Francisco, Miami, or the Arizona
Cardinals.
There's
probably going to be some random team that we're not even thinking of that happens.
I'm telling you, the three teams, Miami, San Francisco, and Arizona are three
Miami
teams.
Miami makes sense. He's from there.
Three teams.
Nah, I don't think so because they're basically redoing this whole thing over.
Well, they're already tanking for Tua.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to take something on like that. I think it's going to be more of a team that wants to win now than someone like the Arizona or Miami. I mean, San Francisco, I could definitely
see
that.
Keep in mind, they're going to have to give him a new contract. He wants to go to Miami. He's hinted at Miami for a little while now, though. Antonio Brown has.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean it's mutual.
He's from there. He went and played at Central Michigan. So he's been all over the place.
Miami would make a lot of sense, not just because he's from there, right? But have you ever seen a team like the Miami Dolphins give away more undeserved money than any other franchise in the league? Like
Redskins.
Oh, that could be another one. Yeah. Do they have the cap space?
No, Vinny's talking about the teams that give away the most money.
But they could be involved, too.
I don't think they have the cap space because of the Alex Smith situation. So
that poor guy in his leg, man.
Yep. You got to feel bad. But, Jeff.
Alex Smith's legs is in worse shape than Vinny's playoff predictions.
Well, one more thing. Did you want to add on the Odell Beckham before we just
before we're done? No, we're going to get going, and we're going to get into baseball. So, Jeff, thanks for calling, bro.
All right, Vinny. Once again, man, thank you so much. I appreciate all that you've done.
Keep drinking.
All right.
You know I will.
Thanks, Jeff. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Jeff from Tampa giving us his insight and what he thinks about Antonio Brown and the Joe Flacco trade. If I had to grade the trade, the Broncos, I'd give them an F. I give the Baltimore Ravens a B+, a B in that area. That's just for that. And you look at John Elway, what he's done. You look at the quarterbacks he's drafted. He's just not the smartest guy to be drafting anybody with his latest draft picks. And then this Antonio Brown saga, ladies and gentlemen, this is a big time story, and this is only going to keep growing till there's a significant place or trade in place for him. So we're going to wait and see. Vinny, where do you think he goes? You don't know? No idea?
I couldn't tell you.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go to a quick break. And when we come back from break, we're going to get into a little bit of Major League Baseball. Pitchers and catchers have finally reported today. We're going to talk about the New York Yankees and their little stepchild, stepbrother over there, the garbage from Queens. We're going to talk about them. We're going to talk about Machado and Harper. What is going on with them? We're going to get into that when we come back here at the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.
It's the Worldwide Sports Radio Network. You are listening to the Third and Long Show. And here's your host, Matty Capps.
631-676-2968 is the number to reach us here at the Worldwide Sports Radio Network. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get into a little bit of Major League Baseball. I want to step away from the NFL talk and all that stuff is going on right now with Antonio Brown and the Joe Flacco trade. I want to step over to baseball, which I haven't really gotten into because it's been so NBA heavy and all that other stuff with the Lakers and Tobias Harris and the Sixers and stuff. We haven't really gotten into baseball. Well, ladies and gentlemen, pitchers and catchers reported today. They've been reporting for the past week, but I know the New York Yankees reported today. There's so much stuff and stories surrounding the Yankees and whatnot that I'm glad I have Mr. Vinny Rubo here to be to my assistant with this because he's a big Yankee fan like myself. And it's a little, in my eyes, I want to say it's a little worrisome to me right now with the New York Yankees. I mean, you look at the New York Yankees right now and everything that their offensive powers that they have, they're one of the best lineups in baseball, maybe in history of baseball. But one thing that really gets to me, and Vinny, I know what you're going to say after I say it, is the starting pitching still is, in my eyes, not there. It's still not there or where it should be going forward.
What did you expect? Like, I don't know what you expected. I mean, they got John Paxson, who's a really good pitcher, and they got him in a trade. And Happ is a good five pitcher. I mean, and you hope Severino can just, you know, get better and better. You know, he's saying how he changed his eating habits and his workout routines and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So he can, you know, maybe be a little more durable towards the end of the season.
Because he did say he got tired and whatnot towards the end
of
the season.
So, you know, we'll see. He lost like 10 to 15 pounds, he said. I don't know if that's going to affect his fastball or whatnot.
That's something we're
going
to have to wait and see.
But, you know, hopefully it, you know, gives him more stamina.
I was expecting the Yankees to make a splurge on one big-name pitcher, and I just didn't see it. Sorry, I don't think James Paxton is that big-name pitcher that I expected them to go out and make a splurge for. We're the New York freaking Yankees, for crying out loud. We're the Empire. We're the Empire from Star Wars. Everybody hates us. Everyone wants to be us and all this nonsense. I just expected them to go out and make a big-time move. Now, if they go out and get Machado or Harper, which I don't think we're going to get either of them, where does that leave the New York Yankees? What do you give their grade in the offseason? I'm curious.
I thought they did fine. I mean, they got Ottavino.
In the bullpen.
In the bullpen. And their bullpen. And you thought their bullpen was good now. I mean, their bullpen
But they
now,
also lost David Robertson,
but they kept
who's Ben Houdini.
Rather have Ottavino at this point
his career. In the age.
But David
mean?
Robertson right now, he wasn't that good last year.
Listen, they call him Houdini for a reason. He's fantastic. I love
David
Robertson.
I'm totally
fine
with that. And they made their bullpen even stronger now. And their starting pitching, I think their starting pitching is good. I think their starting pitching is really solid. And so I don't have any problems with any of the moves. And Tulowitzki with the shortstop, with Didi being gone. Until
at least
DJ
the All-Star
Lemieux
break.
Also, which is a good...
DJ is going to be not an everyday player, though.
A solid player to have. And I think they did very well for...
First of all, you have to hope Troy Tulowitzki could play this season because he didn't play last year, and he only played 60 games the year before that. I mean, he's 34 years old. We're going to hope for the best for Troy Tulowitzki as Yankee fans. We hope to see that he could reminisce some of the magic he used to have when he was with the Toronto Blue Jays. That's one thing for sure, and I'll agree with. DJ LeMahieu is not going to be an everyday type player. He's going to be in there in certain situations and whatnot, but if he produces, he might become an everyday type player for the New York Yankees while Didi Gregorius is out and
but this
when
was
Aaron Boone mixes and matches.
Over 100 win team this year.
Oh, yeah. 104, right?
And they got better.
You think they got better?
Yes.
I think they may.
They added Paxson. How, from compared to last year, they got better.
Listen, I don't know what you're...
How many more wins you're going to squeeze out of this?
Listen, our main problem is going to be the Boston Red Sox, obviously, in that division. We want.
But
be
I don't
ahead.
Think they're going to be as good, obviously. Do you think they're going to top another 108 wins?
No,
I don't think so.
But you don't know that. And that's the whole thing. And who says the Yankees are going to hit the 100-win marker?
I think they'll probably both be under 100 this year.
You think they both will?
I think the Yankees will win the division. I do.
They should have won it last year.
And, you know, if Aaron Judge doesn't get hurt for 50 games, who
it's
knows
possible.
What happens?
You're 100% right.
But, you know, stuff happens. And the
well,
Red
that's
Sox
the whole thing. People
were
need to
the
stay
better
healthy.
Team.
Yep.
So they it's work. A new year. I don't think either team is going to be as good win-wise. I can't.
It's tough to replicate
100-plus
wins.
I can't see 200-win teams again.
Yeah, it's tough to replicate that type of story. But, again, I guess I'm spoiled being a Yankee fan. Because we're used to seeing these top guys come to New York and want to be in New York. And I'm going to tell you this right now. If George Steinbrenner was alive, Manny Machado or Bryce Harper or both would be a New York Yankee at this current moment. And we would have made a deal to go out and get a top-notch ace, say Madison Baumgartner or
but who says he was available?
No. For the right price, everybody's available. I hate to break it to you. Especially when you only have 1 year left on your deal. And the Giants have come out and said that they were listening to offers, not saying they were going to take them in and do whatever, but they were listening to offers for Madison Baumgartner. You have to keep in mind, if Madison Baumgartner doesn't sign an extension by the trade deadline this season in baseball, he's going to get traded. They can't let a guy like that just walk away for free. Number one, this is his last year to be on the team. So that's why I was thinking, I'm just spoiled. I just expect so much from the New York Yankees, especially after the heartbreak last year. I do like some of the moves with Troy Tulowitzki and DJ LeMahieu, especially with Didi Gregorius out and not knowing how he's going to come back. Thank God it wasn't his throwing arm. It was his left arm that he got the Tommy John surgery on. Am I right? Or was it his throwing arm?
I don't know.
No, I think it was his throwing arm. I take that back. So I'm going to be intrigued to see how he comes back and how he's going to integrate himself back into the New York Yankees clubhouse and with the team, because he's going to be away from the team for a little bit by not playing. But, I mean, he'll still be there, but he's not going to be playing. I see the James Paxton, and I know Errol's infatuated with this James Paxton deal. And I don't see it.
Why?
I don't know.
Because he's not a flash guy. Like he's
maybe,
not-
maybe. I mean,
he's a good pitcher.
I mean, listen, let's be real here. How many times did we see James Paxton? He played on the West Coast in Seattle. We didn't see him a lot, so don't act like you watched every Seattle game that he pitched.
But
you didn't see him a lot.
Just because he's on the West Coast doesn't mean you don't know players.
Yeah,
and
but
you don't
but
know.
And I understand that, but you want to watch the games for your own eye test instead of reading stuff and all that type of nonsense. You don't know how he's going to be. What don't you like about him? What don't I like about it? His numbers aren't anything special that people are making it out to seem. I mean, he's a lefty. Hopefully, he could keep the ball in the park at that short porch in Yankee Stadium, which is which could be a huge asset to have him then if he's able to keep the ball in the park going forward. But you look at James Paxton. I don't mind the move. I'm not in love with it, but I don't mind it. I mean, he's a lefty, which is huge. Something the New York Yankees needed, because they can't depend on CC Sabathia to be that lefty pitcher. They can't depend on Jay Happ to be that dominant pitcher that he once was. And even though J.A. Happ has been fantastic since he came into a New York Yankee uniform, but what's it to say that that James Paxton is going to have trouble pitching in pinstripes? Look at Sonny Gray. Now Sonny Gray's not even a New York Yankee anymore because he couldn't handle the bright lights and the pinstripe of New York City, of being in that most prestigious organization in the New York Yankees. He wasn't able to handle
it. But Paxton's a better pitcher than Sonny Gray, and he has been throughout his career. I mean, he hasn't had an ERA over 4 his whole career, number one. His inning pitch to hits are well below every year, almost every year.
What's his whip?
His strikeouts are over. His strikeouts, he struck out 11.7 per 9 innings.
But that's the thing.
Year.
His strikeouts, he had a lot of strikeouts. I think he had like 200.
His whip
something.
Is 1.09.
1.09. That's not bad. That's not bad at all. Yeah, listen, I want to see how he pitches in pinstripes. That's my whole thing.
But you could say that about anyone.
Of course. And listen, Sonny Gray
Even
really
Bumgarner,
left
Bumgarner, you could say that about.
Yep. But Madison Baumgartner has the pedigree that he could pitch in big-time games, especially in the World Series and whatnot with what's going with what has happened to him. He's shown over and over again that he could pitch in big time games and big time atmospheres. James Paxton hasn't shown that to me. One, he hasn't been able to, and two, he played for the Seattle freaking Mariners. So that's another thing we're gonna have
they
to keep
They weren't
on.
A bad team last year, though. They surprised for the wild card.
Yeah, they surprised a lot of teams because they weren't supposed to be where they were. The Seattle Mariners weren't supposed to be where they were when they were fighting to be in the wild card.
This is not like someone coming from the National League coming to the American League. I mean, he's pitched in all American League ballparks. He's pitched with the DH. He had a 3.76 ERA this year. The year before that, he had a 2.98. I mean, these are good numbers. I don't know what you don't like about this.
No, I when did I say
he'll slide right in? He'll probably
like
be the number two.
He's probably gonna. Yeah, he's easily gonna be the number two with Tanaka being number three. That's how it's gonna go, and then J-Hap will be the four, and CC will be the five.
Best case, he'll be the one, and worst case, he'll probably be a three.
I don't think James Paxton is a number one pitcher,
but he could show that
he can.
I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility where he can't be an ace.
You're right. It is possible. It is possible.
He's still kind of young. He was 29 last year, so it's not
pitching.
Like,
he's right at the perfect age. Yeah, to be a pitcher, 29, 30, 31 years old is where you want to be if you're a Major League Baseball pitcher. So, yeah, again, I'm not going to say – again, it's not that I didn't like it. I'm just – again, I say I'm spoiled because I'm just used to flashy guys and big-time guys coming over for the New York Yankees. And I feel like this offseason, and again, if George Steinbrenner was alive, something would have happened going forward with them, and I think we would have gotten Manny by now, or Bryce by now, or Madison, or Clayton Kershaw, just figuratively speaking, or whatnot. But it is what it is. The New York Yankees, they reported today, pitchers and catchers. It's going to be a really interesting spring training for them. I'm intrigued to see the first baseman, how that's going to pan out between Luke Voit and Greg Bird. Do you have any insight on that, or any tell on that, like who would you prefer going forward or whatnot? I'm curious.
No, I just want someone to flat out win the job in spring training
and not do this platoon stuff.
I think the Yankees still love Greg Bird, and they love his swing, and especially in Yankee Stadium.
He's a lefty.
I think he's
going to
get
swing.
Another chance. I mean, Luke Voit played really well, batted .330, 14 homers, and
I
don't
know, 17 or 18, yeah, 60 RBIs or something,
and only like less than 40 games. So you know, he played really well, and there's something you gotta like how, you know, his enthusiasm after, like, you know, he gets
pumped up. He's like a little kid.
He's just fun.
He is a fun guy.
So you know, Greg Bird is gonna be battling, and I think they're gonna go back and forth, I think, in spring training, and I think being the best team, may the best guy win, and I think the other one is gonna be going to the minors.
You think so?
Yeah,
that's gonna be something we're gonna have to keep our eye on too. Now I want to take a step away from the New York Yankees. I mean, we talked about them a little bit, but what I want to talk about right now are the garbage from Queens and some interesting stuff going on in that. In that era over there with Jacob DeGrom and all that stuff. You look at it, Jacob DeGrom and the New York Mets are not going to talk about any potential contract extension for their ace pitcher on opening day. So a lot of multiple outlets reported earlier that DeGrom's representatives set opening day deadline and informed the Mets that DeGrom would not negotiate a deal during the season.
And do you think, I mean... do you think the Mets care?
They should. Yeah, you're going to tell me your best pitcher, your best player on your team.
But isn't he on the arbitration for another year after
one
this?
One more year, that's it. I mean, it don't matter.
He's under contract.
Yeah, but it don't matter.
He has another arbitration year.
But if you're not going to give him what he wants, he's going to ask to be traded. He 100% will be. I mean, he doesn't seem like that type
of
person.
But let's see him do it again for another season. He's one of the young.
If he could be a shadow of what he did last season,
he's
you
not.
Be okay
he's not a
it.
Young pitcher.
He's 32.
He's an older pitcher. So I don't know what he thinks he's going to get as far as, you know. Let's see him do it for another year before this happens again. If I'm the Mets, I'm not making a move. I'm not thinking about a contract extension. I don't think it happens.
You know, you saw. I agree with you. I don't think this contract extension happens before opening day, but Once opening day hits, he said he's not negotiating
anything. Which
is fine. Anything.
Shut up and pitch.
Yeah, but that's the whole thing. What shocks me, though, is that Brody Van Wagenen and DeGrom have a relationship. He used to be his agent, and I feel like he should have more of a way to get to Jacob DeGrom.
But do you think he knows stuff that other people might not know? Being his agent?
Meaning what? Like health-wise?
Literally everything. Do you think he has the insight to everything, doesn't he?
What type
of person, what type of player, what type of injuries, what type of, you know, any type of history with it.
You would think he would know. He absolutely should know.
As your agent, I would hope
you
know.
Yeah. He absolutely should know. But again, who knows? But the fact is that there's nothing getting done in that Mets clubhouse. And I blame Brody Van Wagenen. I blame the coupons over there at the helm of the garbage from Queens. I mean, this is your best pitcher. Look what he did for you. I know there's no loyalty in sports anymore, and I understand that, but they should have a little bit of loyalty to this guy and give him what he wants, because I'm going to tell you this right now. He's not going to give him – if they're not going to give him what he wants, he's going to walk. And to be honest with you, you and I were both wrong. Jacob DeGrom's only 30 years old.
I thought he was 30. And when you
I thought he was 32, if you want me to be honest with you. He's only 30.
I thought he was 30, 31.
No, but this is a perfect age for him. He's right now at his prime.
Yeah, but this is still being – Yeah, but after when he's a free agent, he'll be 31, 32.
Which is fine. You see pitchers pitch to their 40.
That's old compared to someone who you want to sign long-term, which is 25, 26.
Not if he gets a five-year deal. He could pitch till he's 37, 38 years old.
Yeah,
no
but
problem.
Yeah, but I don't want him on that back end of the contract, 37, 38.
Then you give him a front-loaded contract. It's simple. We're seeing more and more front-loaded contracts. You can't say we're not seeing more and more front-loaded contracts in all sports, if you want me to be honest with you. We're seeing more and more front-loaded contracts everywhere we go. I mean, listen, he's 30 years old. He led the majors with a 1.7 ERA, went 10-9 with 269 strikeouts and only 217 innings. He didn't even break 300 innings that we're used to seeing from major league pitchers. He only pitched 217. Both sides avoided arbitration last month by agreeing to a one-year deal worth $17 million, which is a record raise for an arbitration-eligible player from his $7.4 million salary. He has one more year of arbitration after this year. So, but again, how far along do the garbage from Queens let this go where there's no strain on the relationship?
Well, he's giving them the deadline, so, I mean, that's a strict, you know, line in the sand.
Mm-hmm.
Right there.
And that's the thing. I feel like when Jacob DeGrom says, if you're not going to give me anything by opening day, we're not talking about it. He's not even going to bring it up. He's not going to bring it up. Obviously, the reporters and stuff being in New York, that's always going to be talked about and brought up. But he's not going to bring it up. He's not going to want to talk about it. He's just going to want to pitch for him. Now, Vinny, you and I have always talked about it. Will he be able to do what he did this past season? No. He almost had a flawless season. If the garbage from Queens were any good and score a couple runs, his record, he could be 25-1. He could be 30-0. And it wouldn't even be talked about. But they were so inept to scoring runs when he pitched that it's crazy to even say that it was something along those lines. But, Vinny, let me ask you this. And this is going to be before we go and everything because we got to get going soon. Do you or do you not think that the garbage from Queens will get a deal done for him?
If I had to guess, I would say no. But, you know.
So you think eventually he'll be traded or something along those lines?
No, but that's not necessarily mean that you can't get a deal done next offseason.
No. But this is what I'm saying.
No,
so
I don't think.
Do you see him long term in a garbage from Queens uniform?
In likelihood, yes.
In likelihood, yes. Interesting. You would love him in a New York Yankee uniform.
I mean, who wouldn't? He's the best pitcher right now in the majors.
Him and Chris Sale are the best pitchers in the majors, and it's not even close. I don't think that there is ideal hope for any garbage from Queens fans that they get a deal done by opening day. I just don't see BVW doing something along those lines and getting a deal done by opening day. And I don't know. I mean, listen, he has $17 million coming this year, and I get that. But the longer you wait, the worse it could possibly be for garbage from Queens, and you don't want to wait long for him. You want to get things done for him going forward. You want him to be your ace for years to come, for the next 5-6 years, whatever he has left in the tank. You want him to be your ace going forward. And if you're going to wait and wait and wait, he might just say screw you and just walk. And if I'm the garbage from Queens, I can't let my ace, my best player on my Major League Baseball team, walk away for free. That is my whole problem with this. I'm a big advocate. If I'm a GM and I know someone has a year and a half, 2 years left on their contract, I'm going to start talking and negotiating and doing what I have to do to sign this guy. I'm not giving them the opportunity to walk away for free from my franchise if you're that big of a caliber type of player. If you're that type of player, that big-time player, you're getting a contract from me and my organization. If I'm the GM of the team. I don't know how you feel if you were the GM, if you would let things run down and possibly let people walk for free. I wouldn't let people walk for free. I'm all about getting things done and getting things done as quick as possible.
But you also don't know what the ownership has to deal with this. Obviously, if they want to pay him or not.
Which they suck.
So you don't know. You don't know if Van Wagenen is even allowed to give him an extension right now.
No, and that's 100% true, and we won't know that. And that's because of the coupons over there at the Garbage from Queens. They are – Vinny, let me ask you this, and I feel like I've asked you this 1,000 times. The worst owners, James Dolan or the coupons?
Dolan.
You think Dolan by far?
You don't have to think of it. Come on.
But the coupons have to be a close second, no?
I don't know. I would have to think about it. Dolan is clear in a way.
Yeah, well, yeah. He's the worst franchise owner in all of sports. But the coupons haven't spent money since Mo Vaughn in 1999. It's been almost 2 decades for them. John Olerud, 2002, 2003, whenever it was. But, again, the Garbage from Queens need to do something. Because as of right now, they'll always be the little brother to the New York Yankees. Their team is – I hate when people say they're so close and whatnot because, to be honest with you, they're not close. They're not close. Every team in that division got better. Every single team in the National League East got better this season so far, and it's not over yet. Who knows where Bryce Harper's going to go or Manny Machado's going to go. So I'm going to leave it at that, ladies and gentlemen, and we're going to be back tomorrow. I know today we talked about the Joe Flacco trade. We talked about Antonio Brown and all that stuff and saga that's continuing in the NFL. Tomorrow I'm going to talk a lot about Kyler Murray a little bit on our Thursday show. You're going to have me, Vinny, and Speedy Petey here. Maybe Vinny and I will do our Zion Williamson debate because I know Vinny and I have a lot to say about that. Vinny and I argue about that 24/7 almost. I feel like he's my second girlfriend sometimes that we argue about Zion Williamson all the damn time. And then, we'll be back tomorrow 4 to 6 here at the Worldwide Sports Radio Network. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night. Next up is Down to the Wire with Mr. Errol Marks and Speedy Petey. Tune in here at the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.